Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Bump stock does qualify in their judgment as a machine gun, which has been banned by Congress. I mean, that's the essence of it. So Clarence Thomas went through the minutiae of this, of why this is not a machine gun. But Alito had the better point, which is this. Congress, you can ban bump stocks. You can definitively write that in and ban them. Just do it. Now, I think the sentiment might be there to do it, but look, they don't meet often enough. You know my gripe. They don't start to 10 o'clock. They don't come in on Mondays or Fridays. The summer, they don't do anything. Whatever debate you want to have the debates. But they don't want to solve this. They want to keep it out there. So that means that at this point in time, Supreme Court 6-3 has said correctly, constitutionally, you can't have the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms going around making up definitions, essentially. That's not their role. It's the role of Congress. So I was kind of surprised to see someone like Roberts. Usually he doesn't sign off on something like that, but he did. 6-0. Well, 6-3 on the other side. Justice Sotomayor made a spectacle. It's rare to do that. She brought her dissent in and read it. The argument was tearfully reading it in the Supreme Court, which is rare. So 855-839-1210. I mean, there is no doubt that this is another level, what this guy was using in Vegas, but it's not a machine gun based on the statute. So what do you do? Well, Congress ought to be able to come in chop chop and get this done. That's where it ought to be. But of course, that looks to be not something they have appetite or time for or anything else. So it's another big Supreme Court decision. For this reason, everything is always political, but right now it is hyper-political. And even though Trump is the one, you can remember that, you can look it up whether you're a Trump supporter or not, President Trump is the one who pushed to say that, yeah, we got to do something about this mechanism that was able to inflict so much damage. And as a result, somehow or another, they didn't go to Congress. They went through the administrative state. I'm always glad to see the courts, not just on this, push back against the administrative state. In other words, that's what we have Congress for. We go through this all the time. We don't want a bunch of bureaucrats, whatever the field of endeavor is, telling us what kind of shower or water and all that stuff we can use. Even in this case, it's unconstitutional to go that way. And Alito threw down the gauntlet saying, it's up to Congress. Act now. You have experts. Fine-tune this. Tell us exactly what you want banned and then ban it. Kavanaugh made the point that you may have people out there that are unaware, even previous to this decision, and they might get caught up in something big here as far as a penalty if they engage in this. Now, why someone wants to put a bump stock on it and go into that, that's, you know, neither here nor there. You got to say, though, this court going back several years, the biggest, that New York decision around concealed carry and the rights of Americans versus the right of the state. You got to say that this state has been pro Second Amendment, even though this is not a Second Amendment case. This is about other things, as I just set out. You have the administrative state laying it out, and they're saying, no, Congress should have done that, could do that. What are they waiting for? And we're going to continue to go through this cycle where Congress has figured out farm stuff off to these administrators. We don't know who these pointy heads are. And are running the country in a lot of ways that really impact your life. Well, the Supreme Court stopped them on this. But politically, this gives oxygen. Biden will be out there this afternoon. The deer are going to have Kevlar on. You're not going to be able to get a cannon. He'll be telling you what a bump stock is. I mean, he's too busy trying to tell us we made it up, that he was in. Why did the Italian prime minister then have to pull him back if he was just going to shake someone's hand? She's right there. Does she think that's what this guy was doing? Or does she think he was frozen and he's taking one step looking like it was a game or something? Stop it already. The guy is not capable of being president. Well, we know that, Dom. I mean, in a cognitive sense. Well, we know that too, but more so now. Wanted to add one thing, Dan. I may have broken the code with your side of the aisle there with this whole Biden's going to be replaced thing. New York Magazine, no friends of conservatives, right? They make the argument that if Joe Biden suddenly drops out, based upon, Dan, and they go granular here, based upon who is in the DNC, who are the actual levers of power, including even the delegates to the convention, they say Kamala Harris will be the nominee then. That's the way it works. They're pretty clear about it. Now, yeah. They don't think Biden is going to drop out necessarily. Why now after all this? Well, Dan, you just sneer at it. I'm telling you, they quote chapter and verse of the leanings. Now, here's my broader point. Tell me if you think this is nuts. Are we showing weakness here with all this power game stuff of Biden's going to drop out and then this one's going to come in and that? I really don't think Mrs. Obama's going to do it. And even if it were Michelle Obama, you got to be ready for stuff. I get it. But I just see that there's weakness here, that we keep on playing this game with this. What are we so afraid of? Are we really saying?
I think the person's right under our nose who they're going to sneak in the last second, Dom.
Who's that?
And I just had the thought this morning.
I had to laugh today when some of those senators were like standing up there applauding him. The same people that were saying after January 6th that he didn't have a place there, that he had stoked violence against them. Now they're all lining up and they're just showing themselves to be profoundly and pathetically weak people who don't swear allegiance to a flag, but rather just to Donald Trump, who are people who have lost really just the sort of core vision of, you know, Ronald Reagan's Republican Party.
Hey, take Ronald Reagan out of your mouth, buddy. You don't get to say Ronald Reagan. Take that back. A great line about Shapiro, Dan, that he has been tasked. It's like his own little bureau now. That's why he's saying this stuff. To try to tell America that Democrats love America. Well, we differ on that. The National Democrat Party does not, Josh Shapiro. You're not going to be able to sell it. So you think they would tag in Josh Shapiro?
I do.
Wow, now we're really getting
there. Yeah.
Hey, let's look up, the lieutenant governor, that guy. Wow. All right.
Well, one of the things, and we often talk about identity politics with Kamala Harris, and there's no escaping that she is a black woman that would have a great, you know, there would be a great problem, great pushback if they tried to replace her. But here you have a Jewish male where the one big thing that a big pushback against the Democratic Party right now is how they handled the protests on college campuses. And Josh Shapiro from day one has been solid on that issue.
Well, I would tell you, though, you're really asking for it now, given antagonisms here, the two groups that you mentioned right now. And he is very, very pro-Israel, pretty much.
Yeah.
That's out of bounds.
You don't think progressives would come out for Josh Shapiro?
No, not on this stuff. No, I think you'd see about taking out Kamala Harris. Oh, man, you're asking for it.
Yeah.
So are we showing weakness, even if it is Michelle Obama? I mean, it gives us pause. She's an unknown, but she's never had to do it. And even in that short window, I don't think she can do it. She's never been debated or had to answer a question or do anything else. There's no record of that. And there's no record that she wants to do this day to day to jump into the ring. Any day is a great day that we can bring you Congressman, the Representative Wesley Hunt. First time we had him on when he came here to Philadelphia, it was unbelievable. But in addition to that, he, of course, was inside Congress when President Trump spoke. We have the Milwaukee situation. I mean, if Trump said it, I'm okay with it. I think it is a horrible city. But if you're doing your convention there, it might not be a good idea. But wanted to talk with him about a couple of other things, too. Let's bring back to the Dom Giordano Show Congressman Wesley Hunt. Hey, Representative, welcome. Thanks for joining us in Philadelphia.
Thank you so much for having me. How are y'all doing today?
Good. So one thing to clear up. So how did you feel with all the brouhaha here in Philadelphia? You probably liked the back and forth, I guess, that happened over after your visit and Congressman Donald's.
It was fantastic, and it is the canary in the coal mine. We know that they are running scared because Kamala Harris is arguably the worst representation for the black community that we have seen in generations. And the fact that they are running scared, sending her to Philadelphia and not sending her to Atlanta in any events that Congressman Donalds and I are participating in makes me smile.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are absolutely going great number four. That's to the black community, because we know if we get 25% to 30% of the black vote, mathematically Democrats can't win, and they know it too.
Well, without a doubt. So you were in Congress yesterday, thrilling day, I would think, with President Trump. What are some of the headlines for you being inside there with him?
It was fantastic. I mean, it was all hands on deck. Everyone was in the room. We are coalescing around President Trump. He is our nominee. He is our guy. And what made me smile, too, was seeing President Trump with Mitch McConnell, seeing him with the speaker, and actually saying, hey, guys, the time for fighting is over. It's time for us to come together and fight this fight in November. And I tell you what, the energy was unbelievable. He sat there and talked to us for an hour and a half, unscripted, being his usual, jovial, fun self, authentic self. And the juxtaposition of his performance compared to what we saw with Joe Biden meandering around the field in Europe is exactly what the world is saying and why we need President Trump back in office.
Well, to that point, and you probably are sitting back, your feet up on the desk watching this morning, oh my God, this is the best they have. They're saying, hey, Trump is just like Biden. He's 78. Biden's only 3 years older. Why are you saying that, Representative Hunt, what you just said then? They're very close in age.
They may be close in age, but they are certainly not close in cognitive ability. That is clear. And that's what this is about. And I also want to say something to this, too. President Trump is at the height of his game. He is still performing at 100%, as we have seen in all the rallies and his interactions. Trust me, President Trump knows how to find his way on and off the stage. But I want people to know something. Given the cognitive decline that we have seen from Joe Biden in the last 4 years, a vote for Joe Biden is a vote for Kamala Harris. He is not going to make it, given the precipitous fall off that we have seen from him in the last few years, he won't make it for the next four. And if you think it's bad now, imagine Kamala Harris at the helm. That's why this is the most important election that we've seen in our lifetime. We need strength back. We need common sense back. And most importantly, we need a high-functioning president that can handle all the intricacies and the details that are embodied in this role to save our country.
Now, one of the things President Trump said, I believe, Congressman, to you guys, too, at length as a policy, is getting rid of the federal tax on tips, which I not only support, but I think, boy, it boxes in the other side, does it not?
Isn't that a novel idea? Instead of raising taxes, instead of having a mandatory minimum wage, how about we do something that the people in the service industry have wanted for years? They work their tails off. They serve us every day. And the idea of not taxing them on tips so they could have more money in their pocket so that they could then spend in the economy to make it better. And again, that's actually what this whole thing is about for the federal government. How do we get out of your way? How do we allow each individual citizen to make their own decisions with their own money? And when they invest back into our communities and invest back into our economy because they have less taxes, that's how we spurn more growth. Novel idea, but President Trump clearly has the answers.
We're talking with Congressman Wesley Hunt. Congressman, I think it's pretty lame, and I think it's pretty easy to defeat. But what do you make of this attempt again? I guess it's Schumer, but it's a Biden administration, to box guys like you in. You're in a border state to say, look, we gave you something that would calm down the border. You guys wouldn't sign that bill.
What are we talking about? We signed H.R. 2 over a year ago, and Chuck Schumer wouldn't even take it up. We know that Joe Biden, the executive fiat, overturning President Trump's border policies is what got us here in the first place. This is the worst border crisis I've seen in my lifetime because with one stroke of the pen, he destroyed laws that were keeping us safe. He destroyed laws that were keeping fentanyl out of our communities. He destroyed laws that prevented every state from being a border state because we were simply better off. But President Trump said something in the meeting yesterday that I thought was fascinating. We as a country cannot afford to have 11 million people in this country illegally. We are running a $2 trillion annual deficit. We are $34 trillion in debt. And then now we're putting in even further burden on the American public by asking them to pay for people that are here illegally. It's a complete joke. And you can't blame it on us because 4 years ago, we didn't have this problem. You took office, made Kamala Harris your border czar, and now we're the complete disaster.
Now, I've often thought school choice is the silver bullet. Latino voters are one of the groups here in Philadelphia we thought would move. I got to say, it hasn't moved the needle over the years, but Jay-Z jumping into the ring, Meek Mill, and a few other people here in Philadelphia, because we're having this big fight as we go to the budget. What do you make of that?
I'm a product of school choice. I drove 1 hour one way every single day to attend the school that my parents chose to send me to. And I tell you something, it was a hardship on us. It was a very exclusive school that my parents had to really tighten up their belts to send us to. But it created a United States congressman in a white majority district in Houston, Texas, that President Trump would have won by 25 points, and I won by 30 points. Not just that, my brother, sister, and I all went to West Point, all graduated from West Point, all served our country because we are all products of school choice. If you have a young person and you have a family that wants better, that wants to make some sacrifices to better themselves, you know what? They should have the opportunity to do that. And I'm a product of it. And that's why I'm a diehard advocate for it as well.
And a great example. And I think you made a good point there, too. There are people that are willing to tighten their belts. They don't need the whole thing necessarily to go to a particular school. They just need the boost to get them halfway or three quarters of the way there. And then they're going to pitch in and send their kid to that school.
You got it. You got it. And there are a lot of vacancies at some good schools. And again, it's tough. If people have to make sacrifices, but nothing in America, nothing worth gaining, nothing worth attaining is easy in this country. You have to work hard, but if you do, this is one of the few places in the world where you will get a return on that investment. It really is that simple. And why would you not want school choice? Why would you not want people that want to do better to be afforded the opportunity to do just that? And that's what conservatives want, and the Democrats are fighting staunchly against it.
Absolutely. Parting question, Congressman Wesley Hunt. President Trump goes to Detroit tomorrow. And people think, why are you going to places like that? And we know what happens. It's not just in that community. People see it around the country.
People see it everywhere. It's not just Detroit, and it's not just Philly. It's not just Atlanta. It's the entire country. And what I love that President Trump is doing is he is targeting areas that traditionally Republicans have not been able to attain. But given the way that polling is looking and given the way how minorities are trending in his direction, it's a very genius play. We have to go fish where the fish are. And I love the fact that he's going to Detroit. I love the fact that he's going to the Bronx. But you know what also I want to say? Black issues, Hispanic issues, Asian issues. You know what they are? They are all American issues. The rising tide raises all boats. So when the black community does well, America does well. When the Hispanic community does well, America does well. We are all in this boat together. President Trump realizes that he is fighting not just for one particular demographic. He is fighting for everybody.
Absolutely. Hardly wait till you're back in Philadelphia again. There's a lot of action when you're here. Thank you, Congressman. Have a nice weekend.
My pleasure. You just said Happy Father's Day to all those fathers out there.
Thank you, Congressman Wesley Hunt. Dan particularly fired up today. I know he had a little phone connection, but more than made up for after that. Whoa.
It's great.
You heard he said, too, I didn't know that. They went to this school, but they had to go an hour, two hours a day. Yeah. The sister, the brother, all went to West Point, all graduated, all did that. And a point these Republicans in Harrisburg have to make, too, is they're not saying that the family is going to get the whole thing just to pay for tuition one fell swoop. That would be nice. They just need help. They're not taking away anything from anybody. They got to set up some more debates with these people, Dan. So, maybe we're down ashore next week. It is Dom Day week. But after that, we got to get in one of their representatives instead. Make it 32 of them or so. Bring in extra chairs. Let's hear the pitiful arguments here against that. Does it move the needle, though? I'm telling you honestly, for years, I've been amazed by that. People all say it, they want it, and then they don't vote for Republicans who are pushing it. They stay there with Democrats. But when I see a Jay-Z, Meek Mill, and these others jump in and I see the ferocious response, well, it gives me an idea that maybe it is taking hold finally. Which is the worst? Why would the Pope... These audiences are rare. I didn't get an audience when we took people to Italy, Dan. We were there in the Vatican. Which one is the worst that got an audience all together? They went over with Biden, apparently, lining up to meet the Pope. Jimmy Fallon, Gaffigan, who is a Trump hater extraordinaire, Chris Rock, Whoopi, or the worst Catholic of them all, Colbert.
Is this a multiple choice question, or can I say all of the above?
Oh, yeah, you can, but I do think that, Fallon, I don't have any gripe with, really. And I don't know that Chris Rock says anything that's offensive along the lines of being a Catholic, right? No, it's Colbert, the sanctimonious Catholic.
Yeah.
Mr. Abortion.
Yeah.
But pontificating all the time about bad Catholics. They don't have compassion. They don't love. All that stuff. Wow, it's 3, 4, 5. Yeah, the big five lining up to meet the Pope.
They're actually all going to meet the Pope?
They all got an audience, a private audience with them.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I don't know that it was an audience as much. Hey, Holy Father, listen to this one. You know, they're shaking his hand, and I don't know what happened after that, okay? But he is apparently going to address the G7. I'm sure he's going to attack capitalism and then go back to the Vatican with $1 trillion in artwork and resources and all, and walls to lecture the rest of us. He apparently doesn't like air conditioning, too. I hope he tells the G7 about that.
Why?
Climate.
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the number of lives
Nobody
saved.
Dislikes air conditioning.
Yeah, that's exactly
Even
right.
Even climate activists find a way to justify it.
Exactly. Well, it saves lives, particularly in the South, et cetera, you know? Sure. All right, one other quick thing. So Linda Kearns is going to be here. And I do wonder, maybe it's only a small number of people, they made up their minds that no matter what we do on offense and defense is election integrity. They're going all out. She's going to be on to talk about the recruiting lawyers, poll watchers, and they're having a big event. It's not in Philadelphia. Oh, yes, it is. It's at the Union League, Dan. Uh-oh. Here come the protesters, right? protesting. You're not allowed. You have to let us cheat. Why can't you let us cheat? So we got to deal with that. And then on the offense side, our buddy Scott Presler will be here, mail-in balloting. It's a two-pronged attack. And they are going all out. Now, Democrats are saying, trying to spin it this way. Well, if you believe in mail-in balloting now, Republicans, why have you filed upwards of 100 lawsuits around various actions of election integrity? Well, we're trying to stop any number of things that we haven't fully sniffed out yet, like the Zuckerbucks from 2020. We're trying to see where they're going with any number of things that are suspicious. I'm just saying, I get a little tired. I don't know about you. People that call and they're going to cheat us out of it anyhow. All right, roll over, go back to bed, let them do it then. I mean, there's no indication that they are going to be effectively able to win this time. In other words, there's a lot of lessons learned, and mail-in balloting is one of them. But I'm not just the offense guy. The defense has to be world-class, too. It's both things. You could say, well, why do we have to do that? You got to do it because we know what they're going to do. It's that line. What are you prepared to do? The untouchables. We'll see. I mean, it looks better to me what Republicans are rolling out there this time. Still not happy with the state party. The Philadelphia Republican Party, I think they ought to kick out the leadership, tag somebody in, put Scott Presler in charge of Philadelphia. He could sit in a bar and register people to vote. Hey, Vince, how about resigning? How much would it take to get you to resign? All the boys up there in Bridesburg. Get out of our way. All right, let's go to Frank in Bensalem on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Frank, afternoon to you.
How you doing, Dom?
Good, Frank.
I got the best one, and I'm going to be the winner.
All right.
Francis Scott Key. Oh.
All right, why is that the
Look
winner?
Look at that, huh?
Yeah, why is that trouble?
Star Spangled Banner, what are you going to do?
You know? Trash
well, wait a minute. Wait a minute, I'll counter you yet. But his bridge is in the river. I don't know. Frank, if you had the bridge, the Key Bridge and the banner, I might declare you the winner. That is a good one.
That's Francis good. Scott Key.
Gotcha.
How you doing? Are you having a good time?
We are, Frank. How about you?
Hey, listen, you don't know how long I've been listening. A long time. And, you know, I always call in, but, you know.
Thank you, Frank.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Francis, am I in the hat? Yeah.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Though,
not
Frank.
Yet. We got to decide at the end of the show. Okay,
it's got to be better than Scott Paper.
Joe of Exton, even.
A shot at Joe of Exton.
Coming with flames today, Frank.
All right. Thank you, Frank. A shot at the... he is, Dan, the face of all that stuff, isn't he? The man of mystery. I mean, they have Robert and Earl and all. They're all brilliant. But there's something so quirky about him that... taking a shot at Joe of Exton. That's what's happened in the side question. Are we all in? Do you think Republicans are all in? I'm going to ask Linda Kearns that. Every time we have her on, we ask that question. You know, you got to keep the troops roused. They've been through 2020. Okay. What's the other option? There's only two options, all in or give up. There's no half options here. They're all in. You know what they're going to do. What are we going to do? That's what it comes down to. It's not about policies. It's not about all these other things. It's just about, in the end, winning. Because if you don't win, God on your side, policies on your side, they don't matter. You got to win. Trump knows that. That's what I look at in this. Who is it that's going to win? By the way, President Trump gave a big clue yesterday. Now, Fox is making a big deal out of it. I'll tell you what the clue was about the VP. And then 5 minutes later, though, he said, oh, yeah, I'd like to add this guy who is not here to the VP list that we haven't even heard before. You know, when it comes to him choosing, this is going to be a last minute thing. All right. Is Chris Christie still calling? Hit us with an all-time Scott. Real fictional. First name, last name. Hit us with that. All right. We played you Josh Shapiro. Here is Dr. Jill Biden She gets this a little bit bollocksed up, trying to defend Joe against what she calls the other guy, that would be Trump. Here's Dr. Jill.
This election is most certainly not about age. Joe and that other guy are essentially the same age. Let's not be fooled. Joe isn't one of the most effective presidents of our lives in spite of his age, but because of it.
Let's ponder that, Confucius. So notice the line they're trotting out. I asked Wesley Hunt this. Well, you know, Trump is just about the same age as Joe Biden. They could be brothers. Put them all together. Well, I know you say, how do they think they can get away with it? Look, any number of the shrewder ones would say, hey, this is all we got, Don. What are we going to do? We're strategy. We got to sell. So what else are we going to say? Now they're trying to say it didn't happen, what we saw with that field with the parachutist. All this stuff never happens. Why are you emphasizing it? It doesn't matter if it is happening. He's an effective president. And oh, by the way, Trump just turned 78, so he's right there with him. It's the same thing, this same problem they have with inflation. And Biden has put out a new ad that refuses to answer the reason for his problem. Here's the new Biden ad showing you that he cares about the trouble that you're going through, meaning then he cares about inflation. Dan, cut three.
When I was a young man, my family left our hometown so Dad could find a decent job. I know what it's like to struggle. I know many American families are fighting every day to get by. That's why no one, especially a billionaire like Donald Trump, will stop me from fighting the lower cost for food and rent. Because hardworking families deserve a chance to get ahead. I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
Yeah, baby, that's it. Donald Trump doesn't understand you. Now, I know you're saying, well, why would they do that? Doesn't everyone know that Trump, part of the magic, is can bond with anybody? Yeah, they know that. He still can't bring himself, and even if he could bring himself on inflation, what are they going to say? They know that the American people have outsmarted their ruse. They know the American people get it, that his wild spending is what caused this inflation. So either they want to dismiss you, that goofball Stephanie Ruhle on MSNBC. These Americans need an economic explainer. I'm going to play you coming up. David Axelrod, look, he's the Obama advisor, but he gets it right. In this next clip, I'll play you in a minute about these people being in a bubble, including Biden. They can't admit they did it. They don't want to admit it. So they keep on talking, and there is nothing they can do to address the problem anyhow. It's baked in.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3, from Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.